Hey guys, welcome back to Bass University TV. We are back here at the 2020 Bassmaster Classic 50th anniversary. It's a great event, and as great as this event is, I am here with the man that had the most views of all the seminars that we've done for Bass University last year.
What?
Miles Burkle, how are you, man?
Dude, it's good to be back. This is a one-year anniversary for us.
That's right. That's right. We got 1 year. We're gonna celebrate our anniversary
right
by
on.
Expanding on what we talked about last time.
I know. That's awesome. Everybody wants to talk about electronics. I mean, it's such a hot topic, especially nowadays. There's so much, you know, new tech coming into the market, and so yeah, I'm happy to talk about it.
It was great. You are very unique, and you kind of embrace this. There's a lot of great sonar companies out there, and you've rigged your boat with
right.
three different sonar brands, to different assets, and we talked about it last time. And I want to invite you guys that are watching this for the first time to go back and check that out over at bassu.tv. You can, you know, search Miles, search sonar, you'll find it. And we talked a lot about the three different sonar units that you have, the different things that you do with each one of those. And since then, it's been a year.
Yeah.
Right? You've smashed them in a couple tournaments recently. You've learned a lot. You're doing some things with them. I'm so excited. In that past year, what have you learned?
I've learned so much. The last 2 years fishing the FLW Tour, now the FLW Pro Circuit,
mm-hmm.
Have had a lot of great finishes. Right now we're sitting in fourth in points, only two tournaments in, so it's a little bit too early, but
that's
had
strong.
Some good finishes.
That's 20%.
Oh, yeah. But electronics have been a big key to mm-hmm. all of my good finishes throughout the last 2 years. And you know, I was, as you said, I'm very fortunate to be able to combine all the really good qualities of all the different brands on my boat. You know, mm-hmm. I run a Nitro, and it's got all three brands, you know, major brands. You got Humminbird, Lowrance, Garmin. And so I get to pick and choose from all the different qualities that they have, which is great. I work with this company called BassBoatElectronics.com, and they just set me up with the best system possible. And one of the things that I've really been impressed with the last couple of years, and we kind of touched up on the Classic, but I was still pretty new to it, was the forward-looking sonar, you know, that Panoptics LiveScope technology
mm-hmm.
that a lot of brands are starting to embrace is just really special. It's just so critical out there on the water, and I've learned so much about fish movements and how they react to different baits. At the Cup last year, for instance, I was using the Panoptics LiveScope, the forward-looking sonar, to find these brush piles that I had found during practice, you know, mm-hmm. using my mega imaging and side imaging technology to find those. But I'd go back with the forward-looking sonar, and I'd be able to, number one, find exactly what cast I need to make to get to that brush pile. But in practice, I was using it to figure out how the fish were reacting to certain baits. So I'd throw a crankbait in there. I'd watch the crankbait go down to the brush pile, and then I'd see the fish either come out and attack it, come out and just kind of lose interest, or not come out of the brush pile at all. And then I was able to just keep on doing that and trying different baits to figure out what they would end up wanting to eat, or the retrieve speed. I ended up finding a pattern throwing a big, heavy chatterbait that was really great because it really got a reaction strike out of those fish. They just, all of a sudden, they just flood out of that brush to hit that bait.
Oh,
and without that technology, I wouldn't be able to see the reaction of those fish in that brush. So it that right there, and just being able to use that forward-looking technology in coordination with all the other technology that I have on the boat, the 2D sonar, the side imaging, and utilizing that, and down imaging as well, being able to combine all those has really enhanced my fishing.
I can't imagine that, you know, because what'd we do before that, right?
Right.
We find a brush pile.
Yeah.
And then you go through it, like go through a
right.
system maybe to try to find a way to get them to strike. And you are actually watching their reaction.
I hate to admit this too, because the Cup was the first tournament I think I've ever fished where I fished a brush pile offshore, period. I don't think I've ever done it because I wasn't that much of an offshore fisherman right. before I started learning technology. And that tournament, that technology allowed me to really compete against the best in the sport in that situation, because I know how you know a fish's body movement and mm-hmm. and how they're, you know, how fast they're moving towards a bait in their interest level, and being able to utilize that technology to be able to figure out, test the temperature of what they're feeding yeah. like is pretty special.
That it's really the direction of how things are right. going. You know, I know Humminbird has their 360
right.
Imaging, and it's some Brian Thrift, who you can look at all Brian Thrift's theories and strategies, and he's amazing, and he just absolutely loves the 360. But it's because of that.
Right.
It's because he can look out, he can see the target.
Yeah,
you know, and throw to it, and you know, see things that you just can't see by looking under the boat.
I think that's the biggest thing is you know, we've had really good technology for being able to see what's right directly underneath the boat, and then we kind of branched off into side imaging, which is really good for finding structure and in cover
when you're on the outboard and you're idling.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I use it for. Is I primarily use side imaging. I never use it on the bow. A lot of guys do, and it can be helpful for finding shadows and things like that. But the introduction of this new technology, whether it's 360 imaging, which is outstanding, or the forward-looking, you know, panoptics live scope mm-hmm. technology, allowing you to see what's in front of the boat and around the boat at all times, which is really special.
Yeah, it is really special.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of components to it. Let me ask you this. You work with a company that rigs all this stuff.
Right.
Like, I just talked to a guy today that has, you know, all this great new sonar on his boat, but it's not working for him. Like, screens are blanking out.
Right.
He's not getting good readings. Can you give guys recommendation on maybe where they should go or how they should go about rigging these systems?
Right. Well, obviously, since I work with Bass Boat Electronics, they mm-hmm. do installation. And, and Jason over there is just, he's the best in the business, in my opinion. And he does a great job with that. You know, really, it's the devil's in the details, you know, when it comes to rigging these boats. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, make sure you're wiring the wires the right way so they're not kinked or rubbing against something. That plays a big role. Of course, the location of your transducer is a really big role. And if somebody's putting a through-hole transducer, they really need to know what they're doing when doing that, you know, because you can't have any bubbles or anything that the transducer actually has to send that signal through. So
it, bubble will break up the signal and ruins everything.
So, I mean, the biggest thing is if you're doing it yourself, make sure you follow all the directions. Make sure you never kink any wires or anything like that. That's so important, especially, you know, even if you're getting a boat from the factory, go through your boat and just check those things, because sometimes they're you know, trying to get those boats finished pretty quick.
Right.
And it may, you know, the wire actually may kink between the time you pick it up at the dealership or whatever. So look at that, those little details, and it'll help you a lot. Those little things really do make a big difference.
Yeah, no question. I like to, you know, when I get my boat rigged, I go through what's called a new boat blues scenario, right? It's always, one time, this was the greatest one ever, is I got a brand new boat, I bring it home, I take it to the launch ramp, start it up, it's at new boat smell, it's perfect, and I cranks right up, and I go to idle away from the dock, and I'm like, I'm turning away. There's a boat on the dock, another boat, and I'm going right for it. And the more I turn, the more it goes right for the other boat. I'm like, what in the world's going on?
And
I turn the motor off, get up there and pushed off. I'm like, let me try this again. You know, maybe I'm just dizzy. And what had happened was at the rigging process, they had the hydraulic hoses reversed.
Yeah.
So when I turned left, it went right. And when I turned right, it went left.
That's a bad one.
That's a good one, man. That's the new boat blues. That's what can happen, and especially can happen with your electronics. So I like to, when I pick it up, I take it right to the body of water next to where the dealership is.
Yeah.
And I go through the sonar and make sure that I'm getting good readings, everything's working, because a lot of times it's not. You can take it back and get things repaired.
You know, and that's a good point is you know, a lot of boat companies, they're very, very good at what they do. But mm-hmm. they're also trying to go through, you know, as much product as possible to get these orders filled out. So I've found that it's really beneficial to go to somebody that is a specialist in electronics and installing those things. I mean, I've got you know, my Nitro's rigged at the factory, and they do an excellent job. But one of the things that I really like about going to somebody like Jason at Bass Boat Electronics is that that's all he does, and he's right. So good at it, and he has like his own little signature way of doing things, and it's always clean. It's always so I can actually figure out where the wires are, and that's another important thing. Is I really think it's important for people to understand where their wires are, where all their connections are going to, and those things, because when you start having those issues where you may have the unit might be shutting off or be blinking or something like that, most of the time it's just a small connection issue, whether it's just the screw on a bus board or something like that that needs to be tightened down. It's those little things that really matter. So really get to know the electrical system within your boat. That's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, it needs to be functioning properly and,
100%,
in order to be able to access it. But boy, when it's working, there's so much that's available to us right now. But this forward-looking sonar, let's dive into that just a little bit. One of the things that I have, you know, I've experienced, I've talked to other guys about too, is when you're learning how to use it, a lot of times you get caught chasing ghosts.
Yeah.
Like chasing fish that aren't bass or chasing fish that won't bite. What's been your experience in
that
area?
Let me tell you this. So the one thing that I've really learned, when I first had LiveScope on the boat at Rayburn last year, the first tournament last year, I plugged it in, and immediately you notice so much biomass down there. It's incredible how many fish are just swimming everywhere. And so it's like it will, exactly like you say, it'll make you chase ghosts. Mm-hmm. And so really, and we talked about it in the last seminar we did, is you really need to utilize that technology sparingly where you actually need it. And what I like to use it for is really finding the structure and cover that I'm looking for. And if I am fishing a school of fish, that's also very helpful. And you can watch the fish move around. But there's very few instances where I've actually just targeted those fish that I see on the graph, or use it strictly for finding fish. It's mostly for relocating structure, finding the exact cast that I need to make. But there are instances where I do catch bass, and the biggest key for me when it comes to actually catching bass using this forward looking sonar is looking for fish that are close to the bottom. That's one thing that people ask me all the time, is how do you know what is a bass? And a lot of times bass kind of school very similar to catfish. They're very close to the bottom. They're not really stacked on top of each other very often. Spotted bass do on occasion.
Right.
But generally, if I'm scanning around and then all of a sudden I see two marks, fairly sized marks, and they're close to the bottom, more often than not, that's probably a bass.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're gonna have a great success rate, but I mean, a lot of times that's what I'm looking for, is just a couple fish here and there. And I can't tell you how many times at Seminole last year, I used that on the final day to scan around, found a fish on this drop off, cast to it, watched my worm go down, and caught that fish.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. But really, you got to be able to step away. You can get into the trap of just looking at the technology way, way too much.
Yeah.
Because and chasing fish. Like, if you can't catch a fish on the first cast, just keep on moving, in my opinion.
Right.
In a lot of situations.
Well, that's great. That's great advice.
Right.
You know, you want to try to identify, well, it's just like anything else. When do you stay?
Right.
When do you go? You know, well, like in your championship tournament, you were able to see them react to different baits.
Yeah, and that's another big key is if you cast a bait to a fish on it, that you see on the sonar, and it doesn't react, it doesn't do anything, it just keeps on running around, that may not be a bass,
you know,
or a catchable fish to begin with. So
the result is the same.
Right.
If it's not a bass or not catchable, you're not getting them in your live well. Keep going.
And it really allows you to really do what a sight fisherman would do. Cast in there, if you're actually visually looking at a fish, you can see how it reacts to a certain bait or a certain retrieve, and you can make an adjustment. And I think that this live scope technology, this forward-looking sonar, allows you to do that, but at further distances and in situations where you can't see the fish.
Right. Well, I mean, I love the technology. I want to, you know, get more involved with it this year. I can't wait to do that myself. I'm going to get completely rigged out with all this stuff. But you're identifying habitat. Now, is it easy? Like with the live scope, can you see the difference between a bush, a stump, a rock pile? What does that look like, and how do you tell the difference?
It actually gives you a pretty good picture. I mean, it's not like your mega imaging. It's not that detailed, but it's detailed enough to where you see that you're looking at a brush pile, or you're looking at a stump. But like a stump and a tree could look very similar.
Right,
depending on what size, or a stump in a rock pile could look very similar on it. Yeah. So, but it's kind of in between the detail of 2D sonar and down imaging.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my best advice always, it has been and it remains, get out there with this new technology and find something that you know is there. Go do it in clear water.
100%.
And you can see a rock pile that you know is there. And see how the screens interpret it. Your side imaging, your down, and your forward looking. See how your sonar interprets it, so that when you're in muddy water or deep water, and you see that image, you know what it is.
And the same thing goes for fish. If you start catching them and you're catching them every cast, it sucks, but you might want to stop catching them and go idle over them and see what that looks like. Or with the forward looking sonar, turn it over there and see what they look like on the graph, because I mean it's pretty special when you get on a school of fish and you point that thing in their direction and you see all those little bright spots light up. It's like it's like nothing else, and you can cast your bait in there. It's crazy.
That is crazy. So you're suggesting, you know, put the rods down and look at these fish. Which
if you're trying to learn, obviously in a tournament situation.
We're not doing that.
Yeah. But, we're not going to do that. But if you're trying to learn, it's a really good opportunity for you to put the rods down, go idle over these fish, and see what bass look like. Because that's, again, the number one thing that I get asked is, like, what do bass look like on side imaging or you know, on the 2D sonar? What do they look like? How do they orient themselves? How do I tell between a bass and another species? And the best way to do that is, once you start catching them on an area, idle over them,
and
then you'll be able to see firsthand.
Yeah. Well, and another tip that I tell people about, too, is especially on big bodies of water, I like to drive over fast, like at 20, 30 miles an hour, to see what they look like, so that I can cover the whole lake and find out what that looks like. And mostly when I find predator fish like that, it just looks like a little finger when you hit them at about 30 miles an hour. It looks like a tip, little tick right on the bottom.
Right. It took me a long time, and it's just in the most recent years that I've really kind of accelerated my learning in electronics.
Yep.
And prior to that, I was in the same boat. I was wondering what, you know, bass look like and all that. So it's really about just applying that technology. Once you find the fish and then you can see, and once you get that first opportunity to see what they look like on ledges or whatever structure, the light bulb goes off, and it's really, really simple after that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good kind of transition into, you know, electronics tend to be overwhelming for people.
Mm-hmm.
Electronics are really, especially nowadays, these companies have built products that right out of the box are pretty much good to go. I do very little to fine tune my electronics. I mean, Hummingbird, for instance, you've got a lot of options to be able to adjust sensitivity and clarity and things like that.
Yeah.
But really, right out of the box, they do a great job. I think that the fault, really, where people go wrong is they try to use each piece of technology for something that it's probably not the best choice for. They're trying to use a screwdriver when they should be using a wrench type situation. And so I think that's the biggest thing to overcome.
Well, that's great advice. You talked a little bit about Hummingbirds. Tell me what components do you use your Hummingbirds for on your boat?
So the Hummingbird is an isolated system. So so my full system is, I've got the Hummingbird Helix 12. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've got a Lowrance And then a Lawrence 12, and those are both at the console. And then on the bow, I've got a Lawrence, and those are the only two that are linked together for my waypoint management and all that. And then I've got the Garmin on the front just for panoptics. But the Hummingbird is really special because it's an isolated system at the helm. So number one, if something goes wrong with any of my other units that are linked together, and sometimes glitches tend to go in pairs. So if you do have a unit that's linked with another one, if they start glitching, sometimes they can do it at the same time. And so having the Hummingbird by itself
dedicated
is really nice, and be able to use it just for my mapping. I use my Navionics maps on there. It does a great job for that. And the one thing that the Hummingbird does a really good job with, of course, they were the pioneers with side imaging back in, I think, 2006, 2007. Right. It was like the deal.
Right.
And they've done a great job with their mega imaging and all that. It's very, very clear. So when I get an opportunity, I use it for that. But I also use it for my through-hole sonar. So when I'm on plane, I can actually see the bottom you know, for safety reasons and for also being able to find grass in certain areas and things like that.
Okay. Well, it's an amazing system you have. You have a lot of different units you use, and you know, you're picking and choosing the components that you like the best. You figured out how not to get them to interfere and how to catch fish. And my gosh, you're having a heck of a year.
And that's actually, going back to the interfere thing, that's actually one of the biggest questions I get about having all these different systems. And most people think because they're different brands, they're going to interfere. They're only going to interfere if you're using them on the same frequency. So that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand, is if you're using them on the same frequency for like side imaging, they all have very similar frequencies, like 800 or 455 or something like that. If you use them at the same frequency, you're going to have crosstalk.
Right.
But if you don't, you're generally not going to have a problem with that. So I tend to keep them all separate, different frequencies.
Yeah, man, that's great advice. Great advice.
Yeah.
And we're going to be watching. I mean, you got a lot of tournaments left. Which one are you most looking forward to?
The next one. It's always the next one. It's cool because I love fishing new lakes that I've never been to before. I've never been to Lake Martin. I've never been to Dardanelle. I've never been to the Detroit River.
Yeah.
The only one that I've been to that's coming up is Cherokee, and I've only been there twice or three times. So, but Martin's, it's going to be a lot of fun because, number one, I'm going to get to use my electronics a lot in that one. And also, it's more of a pattern lake, I think.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited because Rayburn and Harris Chain were kind of spot location type deals, and I'm really looking forward to getting to a pattern lake.
Well, I'm going to tell you how to win Lake Martin.
no information. No, I can't get it.
I know, but I can give you this information because it was back in 1999. I launched my boat at practice. It was the last day of practice, and it was pea soup fog, so foggy that I couldn't see my trolling motor from where I was sitting. It was that thick.
You shouldn't have launched, man.
Well, we didn't have, all the mapping that Hummingbird has now, and all, you know, it was maps, paper maps, you know, and just 2D sonar. And I'm idling, and I want to get across the creek and down a little bit is where I'm headed, and I'm out in the fog now. I can't see the banks, and I'm like, am I going in circles trying to find the far shore? and as I'm just idling along, all I have is my 2D sonar, and the 2D sonar comes up, and it marks a stump, and it has a little red fish. It was a Hummingbird unit that had the old pixelated units.
Right.
And it marked a little red fish on that stump. I said, well, I might as well try to catch this stump. I can't go anywhere or catch this fish off this stump. And I threw down there, and I caught that fish. And I won the tournament there.
No way. On one stump?
That's how there was about a dozen of them.
I guess this is public information.
Yeah, it's public information. but that little area that I found is what won the tournament for me. So
That's my advice
to you is wait for the fog and then go idle around.
That was a great relevant story about electronics winning a tournament.
That's exactly how it was.
Hey. And you didn't get hurt out there in the fog.
No, that and you know there's people drive nuts, but
don't
slow down. Slow down, guys.
Slow down.
But hey man, it was a treat. It's really some blow your hair back kind of information that you learn about having all this technology. Guys, use it to, you know, the best out there. There's some really cool ways to find offshore structure and catch these fish. And I'm tickled to death that you shared some of it with us, Miles.
I'm happy to do it. Have me back. I'll do it again.
Yes, we will have you back. And we got to break your record. I think you're almost 200,000 views on our Facebook post. and amongst all the other people that have watched it. And I'm sure there's going to be piles of them tuning in to watch this. So thank you very much. Good luck rest of this season.
Appreciate it.
We'll be back with some of the best of the best here at the Classic, Bass University TV.